It's good to be here this evening as we're here to study the Word of God.
Amen.
God has been good to every one of us.
Yes,
we live, move, and we have our being, and without God, we would not be alive.
Amen.
I would like to say that I'm very capable of making mistakes, and if I preach something that is not according to the Word of God, I stand to be corrected. On the other hand, if you find those things to be so, the only thing that God asks of you is to accept it, believe it, and obey it.
Amen.
Because the Bible tells us in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, and that means at the judgment day. You know, God is good not just some of the times, but God is good all the time. And it is a great privilege to be in the land of the dying as we make our way to the land of the living. One day we're going to die. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death comes the judgment. And we want to be ready when that day comes. We don't know when it's going to happen. But the main thing is be ready.
Amen.
I do want to thank the elders for inviting me to preach here at West End during this meeting. Appreciate the good work that they're doing, and Brother Spencer and the saints here. Want to say thanks for your good work. I heard a lot of good things about you. Keep up the good work. And we appreciate you all very much. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we want you to know that you are our special and honored guest.
Amen.
And if we can assist you in any way, please let it be known.
Amen.
I do want to thank my family for being here.
Amen.
My wife, Phyllis, my two daughters, Ashley and Denisha, my son-in-law, Victor Benz, and my two grandchildren, Dastin and Nova. And those who are visiting with us, gospel preachers and elders, want to say thanks for coming. I do want to thank the Brother Lee, I believe, for the great hospitality that he extended to my family and I, the genuine hospitality. And I want to thank you all very much for that. Through the years, the Cook family have been very kind to my family, Shantae. She would let us stay with her, my family and I. And we're just great. Y'all just doing a good job. Keep up the good work. I have a secular job. And I deliver parts for Wayne Supply Company. And I meet a lot of Christians. And sometimes those Christians I meet, they'll just tell me, I'm just not happy. And so I decided to build a sermon on the subject, 7 Ways to Be Happy. Because God wants us to be happy.
Amen.
We should be the happiest people in the world.
Amen.
God's people.
Amen.
You know, some people deprive themselves of joy. Some people make life miserable for others around them. Abraham Lincoln is reported to have said, most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. And that's true. It's in our thinking, it's how we think, and what we think about. With that in mind, in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 and 7, the man of God talks about, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I want to use that this here for to get started on this sermon. Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7. The man of God, he says, do not eat the bread of a miser, that is, a stingy person, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Brothers, sisters, and friends, no real fellowship is developed by dining with a person who does mental calculations about what you are costing him while you eat his food. The ruler is not glad to see you enjoy yourself. He is worried about the cost of the meal. And when we worry, it takes our happiness away. Eat and drink, he says to you. Now that's what he says. But his heart is not with you, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our verse shows it's not what we say or do, but the heart that determines the real person. People will tell us what we want to hear. When we go out to do personal work, they tell us what we want to hear because they will say, we'll see you Sunday, but they don't show up. They will tell you what you want to hear. People will say anything. Now, I believe that whatever's in a man will eventually come out if he keeps it there. But don't believe everything people say. Most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. When we focus on being happy, we will be happy. We're going to become what we think the most. And our feet will carry us where we've been thinking. So that's why we got to be careful, don't we? Number one, if you want to be happy, trust in God.
Amen.
The individual who put his faith and trust in God has a source of strength and delight that unbelievers do not understand. On the secular job, when things get out of control, when people get out of control, they ask you, how were you able to keep a good attitude towards that? Brothers, sisters, and friends, it's God. Me obeying him and listening to him. Now we're going to be using the scriptures tonight. And I'm going to be turning to a lot of scriptures. So you might want to write them down because you need these scriptures. And sometimes people ask me, why do you turn to so many scriptures? Because you need the scriptures. In Proverbs 16 and verse 20, the man of God says this. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. Listen to what he says here. Now we talked about we got to trust God. We have to trust God. Proverbs chapter 16 and the verse is 20. He says this. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. See there? Not in money. Because money, it's like it'll take wings and fly away. You can have a lot of it, it's gone. Not in things. Sometimes people have the attitude, if I buy that new automobile, I'm going to be happy. And they buy the new automobile, and it turns out to be a lemon. Or if I buy that new house, I'm going to be happy. No, it's when we trust God, then we're going to be happy. If a man trusts the Lord, he'll use the wisdom he offers in handling the affairs of life. We're going to do it God's way. And when we do things God's way, it's going to work every time. If we don't do it his way, it's not going to work. We're going to waste our time and everybody else's time.
Amen.
I didn't experience some of that. And you know what I used to do? I preached to myself first and everybody else second. Now, let's give heed to God's word. To give heed is to pay attention to the word of God, to respond properly to the word. Heeding what God says reflects a trust in God, which is the happy, blessed way to live. Trust in God. There's a song that we sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do we live that song? You know, our songs, they teach us. Trust in God brings happiness. But there's another scripture I want to show you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible talks about trust. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And the word trust means to rely upon, put confidence in. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 and 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the man of God, he says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's talking about the mind, man's source of intelligence. He's not talking about the blood pump. Amen. But the mind. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. Brothers, sisters, and friends, the beginning and end of every good work is the recognition of God. Human wisdom is inadequate. And my denominational friends will say, my preacher said this, that, and the other. Well, we need the scripture. If he can't give the scripture, don't believe him. If I cannot give you the scripture and I say something and I cannot give you the scripture, you know, don't believe me. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Sometimes on Fridays I don't deliver parts. I work in the warehouse, and I'll watch the people's court. And isn't it a shame that people get themselves in deep trouble because they did not acknowledge God in their ways? The word acknowledge is from a word that means to give attention to the Lord for the purpose of learning of him. Amen. Many times people learn from the world, and they need to be learning from the scriptures, from God, the Bible. God never makes any mistakes. Amen. Man, we're going to make them. Amen. We got to make it right. Well, we're going to make mistakes. You know, we should not just look at God's word as just black prints on pages. There is power in God's word. The Bible makes it plain that the word of God is like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. It tells us that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It'll cut you going and coming. There is power in God's word. Now we're going to leave the Proverbs. I want to show you some scriptures in the book of Psalms. Psalms 146 and verse 3. We're talking about trust. In Psalms 146, verses 3 through 6, he tells us this. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. See, the psalmist, he cautions us. He warns us. Not to put our trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Because if we do, we shall be miserably disappointed. But we're going to be happy when we put our trust in God. Look at verse 4. And he tells us why we don't need to put our trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth, in other words, he dies. In that very day, his plans perish. You see, no matter how powerful or well-known a man may be, he cannot save you and me. Only God can. When it comes to salvation, we don't put our trust in man. Now, there are men who are trustworthy, and they tell you they're going to do something, they do that. And if they can't do it, they'll call you and tell you they can't do it. But when it comes to salvation, only God is the one who can save us. And that's the force of this. But if you would, look at verse 5. Happy, and this word happy indicates a deep and abiding pleasure, a manifest joy. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keep truth forever. You know, Israel was always apt to trust in humans rather than the divine help. And we need to trust God. But there's another scripture I want to show you. In Psalms 32 and verse 10. And the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 32 and the verse is 10. Psalms 32 and verse 10. He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Why is that? Why is it that many sorrows shall be to the wicked? Because we will reap what we sow. And the wicked will not confess his sin, and he won't repent of his sins. See, sorrows will follow the wicked as morning follows the night. The two are inseparable. Now, we have sorrows as well at times, but we confess our sins and we repent of our sins. You remember King David got in trouble, didn't he? And King David, he says, when I kept silent, my bones grow. That's what happens when we don't repent. And we all make mistakes, but we got to repent of it. Look what he says here. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Let us have confidence in God. He always comes to the aid of the righteous. God's gracious providential care will surround the righteous. And it's a good feeling when we repent and make things right in our lives. Like I said, sometimes we all mess up, but we got to make it right. And we have to trust God that when we do confess and we do repent, then he will forgive us. I know people beat themselves down. You don't do that. When you repent of your sin and you confess your sin, God wipes the slate clean. Because sometimes we're going to mess up. People who worry and stew and get themselves all worked up may call themselves Christians, but their attitude proves lack of trust in God. But there's a second point here I want to bring to your attention. Number two, to be happy, read and meditate on the Scriptures. If you want to be happy, read and meditate upon the Scriptures. In Psalms chapter 1, the man of God says this. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stand in the path of sinners, who sit in the seat of, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There in verse 2, delight, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight means to give great pleasure, desire. What is your delight? What's going to happen when we meditate upon the word of God day and night? Look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, shall prosper does not necessarily mean that we're going to get rich and we're going to be a millionaire, but we'll be useful and productive to the Lord. And that what we want to be useful and productive to the Lord. We want the Lord to use us. But we got to meditate upon the scriptures day and night. The word meditate there in verse 2 means to mumble, to speak to oneself, focusing the mind on the scriptures. To be happy, read and meditate on the scriptures. Brothers, sisters, and friends, there are times that we need to turn off the TV and read the Bible.
Amen.
Just turn it off. There are times that we just need to hang up the phone. Spend less time on Facebook and more time reading the Bible, the Word of God. Less time on Facebook because one day we're going to face the book. Isn't that right? We're going to face it. God's Word will get us out of depression. I talk to people and they say they're in depression. I believe God's Word will get us out of depression.
Amen.
And out of feeling down in the dumps.
Amen.
Sometimes people tell me they just feel down in the dumps. Well, let's get into the Word of God. And let's build up our hearts, our minds. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans, they search the Scriptures every day. And let me ask you a question. I'm your friend. I'm not your enemy. But how often do you search the Scriptures? How often do I search the Scriptures? In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bible tells us that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Let's not be gullible. The Bereans were not gullible. They were not easily deceived. They were not easily duped. See, a gullible man is the individual who will accept as truth that which is taught without personal investigation. He won't check it out. But he accepts it, but he won't check it out. We need to check it out, don't we?
Amen. Amen.
Number 3. To be happy, we must live righteously. Not just the leaders. I talked to people, and one guy told me one time, he said, "You a preacher, you can't do this." He's talking about playing the lottery. I said, "Nobody is to play the lottery, because it's gambling. Whether it be the preacher, it don't make no difference. Gambling is a sin. How we make money, we go to work. We don't make money by gambling and taking advantage of people." So not all of us should live right, not just the leaders only. In Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul wrote to the preacher Titus, and he was explaining to him that we need to live right. I know, I hope I'm not taking too fast, but write them down. Titus 2, 11 and 12, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Clean living contributes to deep-rooted joy and contentment." Clean living. We got to work on it. I do too. You know and I know that when we live right, we feel better.
Amen.
We just feel better. Amen. Number 4, to be happy, worship God regularly and love it. We got to love it. You know, worship itself should be a delight, and through worship, our hearts are lifted. We have to love it. We have to teach our children to love it. In Psalms 96 in verse 9, the psalmist, he says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Brothers, sisters, and friends, it is a beautiful thought to acknowledge the greatness of our Creator, loving Him and obeying Him. You know how we prove that we love God? By obeying Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. David said in Psalms 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He wasn't sad about it. He wasn't mad about it. He was glad. Sometime I come across people and talk to parents, and they said that children just, you know, don't like to come. But we need to teach them to be glad. See, worship is for the glory of God and the happiness of man. That's what worship is about. If you want to be happy, worship God regularly and love it. Don't forsake the assembly. Hebrews 10:25. And I know you've heard it before. But don't forsake the assembly. Be faithful in your attendance. Number five, to be happy, keep a clean conscience. I'm going to be reading Acts 24 and verse 16. But somebody might ask the question, what is the conscience? Which is a good question. We had in a Bible study one time, they said, what is the conscience? Well, conscience is that which tells us whether or not we are doing right or wrong, but it's based on what you've been taught. Acts 24:16, I'm going to read it here in a minute. If you've been taught wrong, you can do wrong and it won't bother your conscience. But if you've been taught right, when you do wrong, it's going to bother our conscience. Amen. Unless our conscience is seared as with a hot iron or branded. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, when before Felix, Ananias the high priest, and the Jewish elders, Paul said, in view of the fact of the resurrection and coming judgment. Acts 24 and verse 16, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and man. A clean conscience makes a soft pillow at night. You know that. Because I done things that wasn't right and bother your conscience. You got to get it right. When we do wrong, make it right. So we can sleep at night. The Apostle Paul told the preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:19. Timothy was instructed to hold on to faith and a good conscience. A good conscience. Hold on. There's been so many people to give up. They done quit. There have even been preachers I know have just left the faith and quit. They didn't hold on. We got to hold on, brother and sisters. If a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what is his profit? We got to hold on. They made shipwreck of their faith. And you know, one of the things that I learned that, don't compare yourself with someone else. And these guys I thought were stronger than me. They done quit the faith. You can't don't compare yourself with somebody else or measure yourself with someone. The example is Jesus. And if I'll keep watching him and following him, that's going to keep me on my toes. And sometimes people have the attitude, well, I'm just as good as brother so-and-so, this. No, let's look at Jesus. That'll keep me on my toes, brothers and sisters. Let's keep a clean conscience. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul served God with a pure conscience. There can be no true happiness when one violates his conscience. Now, I'm going to read the Old Testament. Genesis 42 and verse 21. Do you remember when Joseph's brother sold him into slavery? Of course you do. Later, when they appeared before the governor of Egypt, not knowing that he was Joseph. Genesis 42 and verse 21. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." The guilt of conscience made them miserable.
Amen.
We got to be careful. Number six, want to be happy? Learn contentment. And like I said, these things apply to the preacher too. But sometimes some of us preachers are not content. Be content. Some people constantly worry, fret, and complain. And like I said, even I'm dealing with people out there. I talk to several people, and I hear a lot. I go from several counties, and I talk to Christians, and some people constantly complain. They gripe about their wages. Now, I'm going to say something. If everybody else in that place is getting a raise, and I'm working harder than just as hard as everybody else, and I'm going to say something if I don't get a raise. But these guys, and I have in mind, they make good money. Sometimes we're just not good stewards, isn't that right?
Amen.
We're just not good managers. So they gripe about their wages, their job. I know some guys that I work with, been on the same job for 20, 30 years. It can't be that bad. Hey, I've been on mine for 40 years. It can't be that bad. They gripe about the weather. They jumped me the other day about the rain. I said, I don't have no control over the rain. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too rainy. It's too dry. You know, whatever comes in mind, they complain about it. On Monday morning, I'll say, "Well, good morning." They say, "What's good about it?" We're here. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad I got up out of the bed and was able to put one foot in front of the other and be at work. Some professed Christians grumble about their elders. I know nothing among you. I'm just preaching. They grumble about their elders, the preaching, the song leading. Brother did a fine job leading the singing. And the Bible classes. These are people that I meet and they do this. You see. I tell you, and I'll be honest with you, back when I first obeyed the gospel and was growing in the faith and all of that, I grumbled a little bit. But you know what? I stopped doing that. I got in the ring. You know, I used to sit back and watch boxing. Cassius Clay and those guys eating popcorn, drinking Cokes. And I say, "Why didn't you hit him with a left? Why didn't you hit him with a right? Cover up, man." But let me get in the ring with those guys. It's different then. I did a little boxing back in the boys' club, and I won a few. But even the ones that I won, I took a beating. And all I'm saying, get in the ring, teach some of those classes. And you all heard of, like I said, preaching, and not good preachers here and all of that. That's great. We just have to get in the ring, and that got me in the ring. I stopped complaining and got in there. Now, I know how it is. It's different. I remember the first time I preached, I was so nervous. I was nervous. I said, "Lord, help me." You all know, those who done been up here before, you know how it is.
Amen.
And you know, we have sympathy on people. We don't know unless we've been here. But there are so many people that I talk to out there in different counties, they complain about the elders. I said, "Why don't you help the elders?" They complain about the preaching. Help the preacher.
Amen.
There's something you can do to help him. He needs help too. I know I do. Their attitude bears little resemblance to the disposition that the New Testament teaches. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." A contented person is a happy individual. He sure is. If he's content, he's happy. Without contentment, joy is only superficial. And number 7. To be happy, obey the gospel, the plan of salvation. Let me ask you a question. How can you be happy knowing that you are separated from God because of your sins? Because that's what sin does. It separates us from God. Isaiah chapter 59, 1 and 2. The prophet said a long time ago, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear." You can leave here this evening happy, rejoicing by having your sins washed away. Number 1, you must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Number 2, you must believe the gospel. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." You must repent of your sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. Jesus tells us, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Acts 17 and verse 30, the Bible tells us that there was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must confess Christ before men, Matthew 10:32. Jesus tells us, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me," he said, "I'll deny you." After I take your confession, or maybe the elders take it, your confession, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's what we asked you. You will be baptized into Christ, and you can rejoice, be happy, because your sins will be washed away. It don't matter what you've done. It don't make no difference. God will forgive us of our sins when we obey the gospel.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 8, I want to show you this scripture here in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8, it deals with the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 8, and we know that he had been to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, Acts 8, 36, 35 through 38. And he had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning. And he was reading about a prophecy of Christ. The Bible tells us that the Spirit told Philip to go join with him. And he was running to step in that chariot with him. A beautiful story. And he was reading. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" You got to be taught. The Bible tells us that Philip began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. Not his opinion. And I talk to denominational preachers. I don't like to beat up on anyone, but they say you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And you've heard it before. I was delivering parts, and one of the places where I deliver, And I kept telling the other preacher, the denominational preacher, baptism, if you're not baptized, and you got to be baptized right, you cannot be baptized in some denominational church. You got to be baptized into the church of Christ.
Amen.
He said, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. I already quoted Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And had some people standing in the office. And he started it. I didn't start that. And they had a guy, the boss there, he was just listening. And he said, is that in the Bible that Larry just quoted? Asked the other preacher, the Baptist preacher. He said, yes, it's in the Bible. And the guy, the boss said, then what are you arguing about then? He said it. Now, I didn't start that, y'all. But I won't back down. In verse 36, now as they went down the road, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they came to some certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, I want to be baptized. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. Now watch it now. And he went on his way rejoicing. He was happy because his sins were washed away. He was a brand new creature, a brand new person. Now I do, as I studied this here, now you will have to stop the chariot. The Ethiopian stopped it. Now is the time to obey the gospel. You don't know about tomorrow. Now is the time to stop the chariot and obey. If you are a Christian and your chariot has taken you in the wrong direction, you need to turn around and get right and get back on track and repent of that so you can be happy. In 1 Peter 3, verse 12, and I'll bring it to a close, the Bible makes it plain that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. But he turns his face against those who do evil. If you're subject to the gospel calling anyway, please come. While together we stand and sing, please come.